This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hey everybody, it's Aaron Norris with the Norris Group, and Bruce and I are in the studio by ourselves today, catching up on a very busy year. We've been running so hard this year, and we've covered so many different things. It's just sort of fun to take a break and just sort of a year in review, if you will. So let's see. In September, we had two events, I Survived Real Estate and Cashing In on a Boom. So September, we did Cashing In on a Boom, and we did three all-new chapters, and we renovated one. And we've sort of changed the model on how we're doing education. The concept when we started the portal is that we had to be experts at everything, and you had to have personally done everything, but so many things are changing, and we're not doing every single strategy, and it was not allowing us to include it in the portal. So it went all over really well, and we got to cover the things we had never covered before.
Yeah, what's excellent about that concept, too, is that there's no way I'm going to be an expert on everything anyway. You have people that have great niches, and that's what they've concentrated on. And the fact that they're kind of in our loop and part of our team and are willing to share what they know, that's a big advantage to anybody that's attached to the website.
Yeah. Is there, let's see, we covered accessory dwelling units, short-term rentals, mobile home park investing, and adding square footage. And people looked at the four together and like, why would you cover those four things? And it was fun to build throughout today, and you sort of learned why. Even the mobile home park investing, we wanted to have that conversation because of accessory dwelling units. Why, you know, because in California, part of what you can do is manufactured homes as ADUs in the back.
Well, you know, the ADU is a new toy, first of all.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to happen. There's going to be new things, mm-hmm. sort of like short sales. Well, there's no reason to talk about short sales at the moment, but you know what? That day will come again.
Yeah.
And so ADUs is a new toy. You don't always have the opportunity to add square footage in California and make a profit. And right now you do, and it's probably been true for the last 4 years. But that's the thing about the website. It's mobile. It's flexible, and we can get now with the ability to update it, which is kind of nice. Not just the old material where you update charts and things, but any new concept, you know, we can within months add the appropriate information. It's exciting.
Well, two shows ago, we're going to be doing some follow-up radio shows, focus more on the timing piece of some of those aspects. But we had Senator Wachowski, who was very instrumental in developing the ADU regulation. So there's been two rounds. And in our radio show, he informed us there was going to be a third. So we might have to completely redo the chapter next year. And it's fun to have that that flexibility and find out what's really going on in the streets.
What's fun, too, about the research that you did, and we're going to make a trip to Florida and stay there for an entire week, and part of what you're going to do is go visit cities
mm-hmm.
and see if they even have contemplated some of those same concepts.
Yeah.
And because they have a ton of seniors, and they have maybe the ability to live with a family member, but not necessarily in the same house. You know, that's just an interesting thing that we might be able to suggest that could fill a need that they haven't thought of, or they haven't reacted to yet.
Well, I'm fascinated with ADUs in particular for a few reasons, seniors being one of them. The concept here in California where a senior could decide to downsize, but in their own backyard, and then rent out the front and then supplement their income.
It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And it's just the only thing that we have yet to see if it really takes off. If seniors like, yeah, I want to stay put, and this is a viable option.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just be interesting to see if it sticks. I think what worried me about the rent control, and we'll talk about that later, was, every city has its own rules and regs around this, and it's really hard to follow. And some cities are charging upwards of, you know, five figures, but they're not supposed to be. I think that's been the frustration with the state is that mm-hmm. like, okay, this wasn't the point. We needed affordable housing, and now here you are putting up roadblocks.
Yeah, because they need revenue, and they see this as a new toy.
Right.
A lot like when the REOs came about, and they had vacant, damaged homes, and they got to charge $1,000 a day for stuff. Right. I mean, they were pretty excited about that.
Oh yeah, $100 per day per fine. So if you had a house with, you know, five ticking away. It could be $1,000 a day. I mean, it was nuts.
It was. It was crazy.
And probably get pretty spoiled too. What happens when that stops?
By the way, the senior living in their backyard, necessity sometimes is the mother of invention. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of seniors. You know, one of the chapters in the new report, it talks about senior readiness to retire and their money situation. Well, there's a lot of people that live on Social Security.
Yeah.
As a major part. And just simply, if you had a home in Riverside that rented for $2,200 and you could build an ADU unit that cost you $500 a month for the construction, basically, of it, mm-hmm. you just probably doubled your income. That's not insignificant.
No, not at all. I just such an interesting creative, and especially if the state's going to push it and really grease the wheel and it's coming from them.
Well, anything they want, if they consider this somehow in the world of green, you know what I mean?
Right.
If that becomes the new toy, then that backing is really important.
Yeah. Well, for urban planners, yeah, you're utilizing the same infrastructure. You're not expanding suburbia. You're building more density, which hopefully more people are going to use, hopefully being the key term, you know, mass transit. It builds that density where it does different things. So in another lifetime, I watch way too many YouTube videos on urban planning. Once upon a time, I thought I wanted to get a degree in that. I'm fascinated by that, having lived in New York and LA, and I love that stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's two different ways that we've dealt with lots of people in one area. You know, New mm-hmm. York has had that system underground for forever.
Oh, I know.
Or cars, you know, who wants to own a car in Manhattan?
For those listeners, if you're ever in New York City, go to Brooklyn to the Transportation Museum. You get to walk through subway cars. So any friends that go out there with kids, I always suggest that. And it's always the highlight. The kids love it. And parents, you get to walk through like these subway cars with the wicker benches and ceiling fans. It's really hard to imagine being underground in New York City in the dead of a humid summer with a ceiling fan being your only relief.
Wow.
Anyway. Was there anything on cashing in on a boom, the vacation rentals? I know you haven't done any of these strategies. Were you interested or piqued curiosity because of some of the things we ended up covering?
You know what I was most excited about was the value of the day for the audience.
Oh, good.
Because part of it was they were thinking I was going to be giving it. And remember my opening statement was, you know, there's an auction chapter in our training, and I earned the right to teach that by attending many auctions at the back of the room, watching flaws to where I could detect even advertising going, oh my gosh, this is going to be a wonderful auction. Mm-hmm. And one time we videoed a small auction. It was a small auction. I ended up making 500 grand from that auction because I bought every house because the auctioneer didn't know. Well, I had a right to teach that. The people that got up were the right people to teach that day.
Yeah.
And so there were some people were like, oh, and then they realized, I think by the end of the day, how good that day was.
Yeah.
And so, and I couldn't have taught that day. I could have pretended some of it, but that's not what we want to do.
No.
We want to give really good value. And so I think that was my overriding. I was pretty excited student too, just listening to how these people had refined and how they change their lives. You know, that's the thing. Real estate has a chance mm-hmm. to do that. And each of them did it in a different way.
Yeah. I think that's why I love this business too, is you find people who come in from it from so many different angles, and they end up falling into these niches that they end up owning and loving and just making it work for their personality types and their skill set. So I feel like it's given us permission to expand what we do to be even more meaningful. So I'm very excited about the year ahead. I'm definitely not done yet. We're going to have a lot of fun.
That's the thing. I think we've piqued some interest in what are they going to dream up next now, because that was a very valuable day.
Yeah. Well, and then only a few weeks later after that, we did I Survive Real Estate. So I don't know if we've ever done this. We've never sort of done a follow-up. I don't think... I get emails every once in a while like, why didn't Bruce go after them because of this on the radio show? Or I don't think people understand it's not our intent to debate people on the show or to make them uncomfortable. It's really just to get information for our own research or to get their very expert opinion on stuff. But
what's been really great about the years that we've done that, and that's what, about 10?
11th, that's 11th year. Yeah.
Okay. I think gradually, because sometimes we have repetitive people on the panel, they trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't have to, you can have disagreement without combativeness. There's not someone trying to win, where sometimes it felt like that, now it doesn't. So yeah, you can have difference of opinion, very intelligent people, and we get to sometimes talk about what the solutions are, you know, and that's kind of an exciting thing. There's always topics I don't get to. I studied so hard for that night, as did you.
I know.
And, you know, I'm down to like 7 minutes, and I realize I am not going to get to cover all this stuff. I'm going to have to wrap it up the best way I can by asking everybody that most important, what's most important, what are you most concerned about? And that took the rest of the time. So that was a disappointing thing for me, because there were topics I wanted to deal with, and I never got a chance to do it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, there was a lot of stuff, you know, and you just don't have time. And sometimes it's sort of like doing a radio interview. You've got a sequence of questions. Well, it changes instantly with the first answer.
Yeah, if you just listen.
That's right. Yeah. If you listen, and it's best to listen,
because
then you don't have a staccato interview. Okay, well, question number two is, I hear you're born in Brooklyn. You know, you're like, wow.
Yeah, you can always tell when you're getting interviewed by somebody who's reading off a list, and I just answered that a second ago. Yeah. So I love the panel this year. I think it's probably the most diverse set of topics we've ever covered as well. There's a huge technology angle, and Sean O'Toole was fun this year. I feel like he got to shine talking about what he liked to talk about, which was fun.
Well, and it was fun, and it was kind of mind-boggling, because I kind of knew what he was going to be talking about. So I kind of went on the web and looked at some of the stuff, and you're just... what's about to occur
mm-hmm.
is astonishing. I sent you a link where hotel rooms are going to be able to leave the hotel and transport you around, and then you could reconnect at the end of your day, and it completes the room again. It's like, what? That's coming.
Yeah. It's happening faster than a lot of people think. With 5G technology coming, sort of solving the connectivity issue when it comes to stuff like that, it makes it a lot more viable. Innovation is definitely outpacing regulation, which is always nerve-wracking at times.
Now, for instance, 5G, is that something that's a race between nations?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
You know, it's always interesting. I really don't enjoy politics. I don't watch TV anymore, especially news. It's terrible.
Yeah.
You just got a whole bunch of talking heads yelling at each other who are just, it's so political. It doesn't matter, you know, which channel you watch. It's just, it's awful. Like what happened to just getting the news? So I read a lot more. So one of the things, I think it was spring, where Trump actually said something about wanting to federally fund 5G infrastructure. And so one of the things we talked about, iSurvey Real Estate, was that other countries are funding things like 5G infrastructure. It's a race. It really is. And it could mean economic prowess, and we don't want to be the last of the party.
No.
So yeah, there's things like that in the Hyperloop. I mean, there are other countries going all in. I mean, I am fascinated by Dubai and the infrastructure and what they've done in just 30 years to diversify their assets so they can survive when oil is no longer their lead income generator. But I mean, they're doing Hyperloop and investing in so much infrastructure. It's fascinating to watch. Wouldn't want to live there, but
right. I mean, just thinking of the concept of Hyperloop and then talking about the ramifications of that, to where I could work in San Francisco. Are you kidding me?
Right.
It's a 45-minute zip over there. Well, what does that do to the value of San Francisco real estate, by the way?
Well, exactly. And Sean O'Toole was pointing to, you know, you've got the road on the way to Vegas, and you had once upon a time towns that were really reliant on those people that had to stop because people only, you know, had 10 to 15 miles a gallon, and they were in clunkers.
Exactly right.
And then once the cars started getting more miles a gallon, those cities disappeared. So what happens when you can go to Vegas to LA in, you know, a short amount of time, and those cities in between? you definitely don't want to be in a city where they decide no longer to stop.
Yes, exactly right.
Right. So if you're sort of on the outskirts of thinking you want to buy land near Zizix, you know, maybe that's not such a good idea. It's what did you say once upon a time? You have lots that just do nothing but hold the earth together.
That's right. Yep. I still have five of them.
I think that's what I've really become passionate about is the technology, but how its application potentially to all these different things.
Well, it's also neat that you get involved in the city's brain trust, if you will. What are they about to do? What are they looking? They're looking at the future saying, you know, this is what we plan to do, the city planners and stuff like that.
Right. Where
you try to think about how do we assist that journey? And is there some benefit to us becoming kind of a partner with their concept, saying, okay, well, if we do this, is something like a subsidy available, that type of thing? You're thinking about that when we go into Florida, just take a look at seeing what they're,
oh yeah,
what they're dreaming up.
Is there anything at iSurvive Real Estate that you were surprised to discover? I mean, we talked a lot about 3D printed housing.
Well, how about that? Sean basically has one on order.
I know.
Now, I want you to realize it's more meaningful than you think, because where he lives is Truckee. Truckee has the most ridiculous roof pack load requirement. Yeah. Like, okay, it has to withstand 20 feet of snow. Unbelievable.
Well, yeah, he said the code is it has to measure up to meet 100-year snowstorm and 100-year earthquake. So you have to, the building code is ridiculous.
Yeah, so, I mean, how do you 3D print a house that matches that? That's amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay, so, you know, if you start thinking about you'll never have a worse spec in the world and somebody's going to be able to 3D print a house. That is kind of a game changer. That's, when we went to the show a couple of years ago, I mean, it was all over my head. I was really trying to introduce your brain to it because I knew you might get it.
Oh, I did. I'm all in now. It's trouble. I'm fascinated in learning, and I think 2019 will be the year we finally start hearing about it. I think one of the reasons is that I think modular is going to get very popular this year. I think it's here in Fontana. Amazon invested in that modular home builder. I think it's going to be of necessity, and it's just going to land at such a unique, opportune time if we don't have a major downturn to where none of this stuff makes sense or the financing somehow just gets really messed up. But,
well, in a way, this next downturn might facilitate some of that, honestly.
Okay.
And it's because when you have quantitative easing, that's how we solve basically what would have been the Great Depression number two.
Mm-hmm.
We prevented that with quantitative easing and zero interest rates. And what happened was assets exploded.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a social cost for that. There are those that have assets and there were those that did not. And so that gap became bigger in the last 8 years. So the people that had stuff became really wealthy and the people that didn't have stuff went the other way. Mm-hmm. Their wages didn't keep up. Their assets had where they didn't have any. And so now you have this social discord that's going on too. So you kind of need to have a little bit of a swing saying, how do we make the people without stuff, like say homeless? I mean, that's a big deal. You know, you just can't drive around and ignore that anymore. And so if that technology can say, okay, we can effectively do that as a city, we can get somebody a chance to get off of the street to where now you can maybe build from there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very valuable thing to consider. And so if 3D printing facilitates that, that'd be very exciting.
It's going to be interesting. The few politicians that I've talked to, even the ones that are sort of pushing this ADU thing, 3D printing houses is not yet on their radar. It's really not.
Well, I can understand that because it's almost hard to conceive of it.
Well, and it's kept so close to secret. It's so secretive right now. Like we've tried to get this 3D printer. They're so under wraps. But I mean, they're having conversations with like the Gates Foundation. I mean, I think it's going to explode, but nobody wants to talk about it just yet. And you're like, okay, because I've asked them, I'm like, how are you going to fit within the code? Like, where does this fit? Does this, is this manufactured housing? Is this considered stick built on a permanent foundation? Like, where is this going to fall? Especially size. Some of these sizes sort of fall within tiny houses right now are regulated in here in California under the DMV.
Okay.
It sounds like they want affordable housing so bad, they may loosen up regulations or like, yep, you can have a few tiny houses in your backyard. I don't know where that's going. Mm. But where would 3D printed houses fit? How is it going to be regulated? And is it easy just to push at the push of a button? Because like, yeah, we need the walls to be a little bit thicker because of earthquake code here in the city of Riverside. Or, you know, can it be that flexible? And I don't know. It's going to be really fascinating to watch and see if it has hurdles. Or because of where we're at in California and the need for affordable housing, if it goes through faster than anything ever has.
Yeah. See, that's, if the political will is there, that's an interesting thing. Like, what are those loans called that can do all the green improvements to home?
Oh, the, yeah.
Where the financing
Hero,
is,
the Hero program,
the Hero
PACE.
Program,
PACE,
where the financing actually comes superior.
Yeah.
To a first trustee.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought that one up? But why? It's because that's what they want.
Yeah, I know the one. I know a PR agency because I'm involved in the public relations field with a company that helps out one of the major PACE funders. And he was like fighting me. I'm like, you don't have to sell me on it. I know what you have to sell. I think it's terrible. And they've done a terrible thing. He's like, oh gosh, why are you so upset about it? I'm like, because my family member got screwed by this. I'm like, they rolled it out terribly. If it's such a great product and you believe in it so much, go in second position. And he's like, oh. I'm like, yeah, I actually know what I'm talking about. So sorry. iBuyers and lenders, you know, a lot of these new concepts haven't exactly been tested by a downturn or even a blip. It's going to be really interesting to see the role of realtors. I have a good realtor friend that he and I were texting yesterday, and he is aching for this downturn. And he specifically said, you know, up until recently, you just had to list a property and it sold. It didn't take any talent. And all of a sudden, realtors get to prove their worth. And it was nice to hear that. And like, so he was itching for a downturn.
Getting his game face on. Well, that is true. When California especially is easy to sell. And that's, again, another chapter in the report talking about this transition that's about to occur on borrowed time. That a lot of investors have, well, what have we been able to buy at discounts? Marginal locations, marginal properties, and everything's been fine. Well, in the last year of a boom, if you will, when you're about to be, maybe we're at the end of that boom, all of those things start to matter. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I myself have a home on a dirt road that's about to be completed. I'm not as comfortable as I was a year ago because we had sold four of them on dirt roads in this area. It was no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The market has changed somewhat. We have a home still not closed that we built, finished probably 4 months ago. It's been pending, fell out of escrow, went pending again. You know, that didn't really happen a year ago or 2 years ago. So investors have to be careful too about the type of inventory they take on, and they better take a look at the rental portfolio that they have.
Yeah.
And so in the chapter, when we deal with rentals and we talk about, you know, three questions would be, why did you buy this?
Yeah.
Has it done its job? You know, and most of us buy rentals because it escalates in price. California doesn't usually provide tons of cash flow, but it really provides escalation of price. And would you intentionally sit and hold this for the next 8 years if you thought the price was going to go nowhere?
Right. Well, let's end this segment here. If you have not watched I Survive Real Estate, you'll find it on YouTube, and it is now on Amazon. We have our own channel, and it's completely free on either one. As long as you're a member of Amazon, it shouldn't cost you anything, or just check out isurvivealestate.com. As far as all the content from Cashing In on a Boom, it was recorded. It's as part of the portal. It's $350, and you're interested. In the next segment, we're going to talk about the upcoming timing report and your new talk that you're doing at clubs that will launch in December. December. The event calendar on our website, thenorrisgroup.com, has that, but Cashing in on a Boom is part of our subscription for $350. And if you want to save money on the upcoming market timing report, you can save a couple hundred bucks on that. So let's take a break here, and then we'll get to that next show.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.